Ever notice how people scroll through their phones while you're mid-sentence? That's the reality every writer faces. Nobody wants to read your shit. Not because they're mean, they're just busy. Between endless Netflix queues, buzzing notifications, and social media rabbit holes, why should anyone care about your novel, blog post, or business proposal? This isn't personal rejection, it's the starting point of all great writing. When Stephen Pressfield first learned this lesson in advertising, it transformed his approach forever. The solution isn't to give up, it's to make your writing so compelling that readers would be crazy to look away. This means developing what advertisers call the hook, that irresistible element that grabs attention and won't let go. When you truly understand nobody wants to read your shit, you develop empathy. You stop assuming readers owe you their attention and recognize that capturing it is your sacred duty. The writing becomes about them, not you. For years, Pressfield's writing screamed of effort and fakery. Even when describing real events from his life, everything came out hollow. Meanwhile, reading Hemingway or Henry Miller, every phrase rang like gold. His breakthrough came unexpectedly, through personal letters. Writing to friends, he'd occasionally stop and think, "Wow, that sounds like me." In letters, he wasn't trying to write, he was simply communicating. Voice isn't manufactured, it emerges when we stop trying to sound like writers and focus on clear communication. It develops through practice, through millions of keystrokes and erasures. The cells remember. Something changes fundamentally, even when we can't articulate how. This journey often comes with pressure to quit. Bosses offer promotions, friends give concerned looks, everyone wonders when you'll rejoin normal society. Yet something inside won't let you stop writing, even when logic suggests you should. Understanding structure is essential for any narrative. The three-act structure, beginning, middle, and end, forms the backbone of successful storytelling. In Act 1, hook the audience. In Act 2, build tension through complications. In Act 3, deliver a satisfying payoff. This pattern underlies jokes, seduction, and persuasion. For longer works, David Lean suggests dividing your piece into 8 to 12 major sequences, each functioning as a mini-movie. The inciting incident must occur in Act 1 and contain seeds of the climax. When Apollo Creed picks Rocky for a title shot, we immediately anticipate the final boxing match. Mastering structure doesn't restrict creativity, it channels it for maximum impact. These principles apply equally to nonfiction. Whether writing a memoir, business book, or TED Talk, the structure remains. Hook, build, payoff. Start with theme. Decide what your story is about. Distill this into a single sentence, make your protagonist embody it, and cut everything off theme. When Pressfield wrote The War of Art, his editor transformed scattered pages into a three-act structure, describing resistance, hook, overcoming it, and setting it in cosmic context. Even in nonfiction, the emotional journey matters as much as the information. In Hollywood, scripts need stars to become movies, a principle applicable to all writing. Your protagonist must possess star quality, scale, depth, centrality to the story, and a transformative arc. Their desires must be monumental, with life and death stakes and unquenchable passion. Their actions should drive story turns, and the narrative concludes when their issues resolve. Don't shy away from making your hero suffer. Suffering is drama. The greater their ordeal, the more compelling their journey. Give your protagonist both outer and inner journeys, as action sequences alone won't create memorable characters. Your villain deserves equal attention. The second act belongs to them, and this antagonistic force must be carefully crafted. A great villain needs a brilliant speech that crystallizes their worldview, like Gordon Gekko's "Greed is Good" monologue. The antagonist carries the counter theme, representing values opposed to your protagonist's. The conflict between these worldviews creates your story's emotional heart. Resistance is a palpable, universal force. Self-sabotage manifests as procrastination, self-doubt, perfectionism, and distractions, all the ways we avoid our work. It intensifies as we approach our most important creations, making the final steps often the hardest. Yet equally powerful is the creative force of the muse. When you commit to your work, sometimes material appears that exceeds your expectations, leaving you wondering, where did that come from? The muse doesn't operate on schedule, but rewards consistency, appearing most often when we've already begun. The artist enters the void empty-handed and returns with something new, a process requiring tremendous courage and faith, not in outcomes, but in creativity itself. We trust that the universe holds a specific gift for us, available when we make ourselves receptive. By showing up consistently, we create the conditions for inspiration to strike. The difference between an amateur and a professional isn't talent, it's approach. Amateurs fade at the finish line and bail when projects get difficult. Professionals finish no matter what. They show up daily, treat writing as their job, and understand that inspiration follows discipline. Writing a novel is like crossing the continent in a prairie schooner. You must master delayed gratification by breaking the trek into manageable mini-treks. Set achievable daily word counts rather than attempting marathon sessions that leave you burned out. Think in blocks of time and multiple drafts. Pressfield completes 10 to 15 drafts of every book, which takes the pressure off. Each draft serves a purpose. The first captures the story, the second strengthens character arcs, the third fixes plot holes. Surrender to the material, then master it. The artistic phase allows exploration, while the engineering phase demands precision and ruthless editing. Professional writers know when to switch between these modes, when to let the story breathe, and when to rein it in. This balance defines the professional writer's journey more than raw talent. Writing is a marathon, not a sprint. A novel might take years to complete. Can you sustain yourself financially and emotionally? Can your relationships handle it? Can you maintain motivation? You don't learn writing in school, but through apprenticeships under multiple masters. It happens through relationships with peers and mentors. You work for free and do what others won't. You're in the trenches, getting dismissed and exploited. The price of learning. Pressfield worked for 26 months on his first completed novel, which never sold, nor did the next one. It took 10 more years before he got his first writing check, and another decade before The Legend of Bagger Vance was published. Yet finishing his first novel was epical. A lifelong dragon dropped dead at his feet. The next morning, his writer friend barely looked up at Pressfield's announcement. "Good for you," Paul said. "Start the next one today." That's the writer's life. You finish one project and immediately begin the next. You write your white whale, the idea that terrifies and compels you. You'll know it because you're scared to death of it. Great ideas make you break out in a sweat. They're worth pursuing to the end.